Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about getting himself a grill for months, people, and he finally got one. Now his sad face is turning into a somewhat happy face, and he can go and grill out now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And to that sucker that stole my grill, if I see it on your porch, I'm taking it back. That's real talk.
Yeah, he probably was cooking some good ribs and hamburgers and steaks on that mug.
Man, they don't even make them like that no more. I'm telling you, man, they don't even make grills like that no more, man. They just gonna just take all the fight up out there.
Hey, I mean, what made your grill so perfect?
Man, I had the grill for 14 years, man. It wasn't like them, you know, they got those new grills, they real thin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't really cooked that good. They just all jacked up. But that joker, man, I'm talking about, boy, it was heavy.
Oh, you're heavy.
It was one of them earlier Webers.
Wow.
That's grill talk right there. My bad.
Okay.
Pretty good. Spent a little pretty penny on it, too.
Well, I don't know too much about grills, you know what I'm saying? I just know I got a choice for them, the indoor-outdoor grill. So, I mean, I don't think that classified me as a griller.
Okay.
I'm really cheating. Yeah, I'm cheating right now, you know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
But it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? Kevin got his grill now, so he can stop asking me, bring him some barbecue, he can cook his own barbecue.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? And this going to be so wrong. I'm going to wait after you leave, and then I'm going to cook.
Yeah, that is wrong. Completely wrong. All the way wrong.
Hey, look who just walked in the building. What's up, girl?
What's up? It's JG in the house.
I told y'all.
I'm running a little late.
I'm just saying, I told y'all I was going to be nice.
I'm suffering from this pollen. Like, are y'all suffering from pollen? Like, I'm having a hard time dealing with this.
Wow, pollen don't bother me.
I'm straight now.
I'm good.
Like it in my eyes. That's why I always laugh all the time.
Oh, Lord. Well, I'm suffering from the pollen. And my poor car is suffering. I just washed it yesterday. And then, like, I walk outside this morning, and it's right back covered in pollen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one thing. I'm not really tripping on that pollen. I'm good. My car good, because it's going to be yellow, black yellow. That's what color I'm looking at, black yellow.
I'm
what's been going on with you guys? I see we still missing somebody.
Oh,
I'm
Mr.
good, man. I had me a 2-hour.
Who?
Oh, let me tell y'all what I did yesterday. I watched the NCAA, like, semifinals. I had a little bet going on, and I lost part of my bet, but I won the other half of my bet because UConn beat Kentucky. I called it right.
Wasn't that, like,
you know,
kind of obvious?
On the UConn team?
What?
Do you know any of the players' name on the UConn team? Since you over there bet?
No, it was one little famous boy. I think his name starts with a K or something.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Like, he wasn't too hot. Like, he didn't look too hot, so I didn't remember him. But, like, I was so disappointed that VCU lost, because that was my other team, because they have this cute little boy on their team. I think it's something Rodriguez or something like
American
that.
American boy.
Yeah, he's hot.
Yeah.
He's a senior. He's hot. But, like, he didn't play up to par. He didn't play up to par last night. I didn't like that.
All I can say is,
black people.
See, that's what we're talking about. What we're talking about today.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Definitely. What's going on, Alan? Look, man, I just got through doing a 2-hour walk. I'm not going to tell you how many miles I walked, because I don't even know myself.
How many times did you walk around?
I don't know. I didn't count, man. I just kept going. Like, I just looked at my phone and I was like, man, I'm just going to continue walking until 2 hours. And
but
I
I'm
did.
Just saying, how many times you walked around the circle?
I don't know. A lot.
Two,
I don't
know. Three. Tell
no.
Two.
Oh, man.
How did you
two
stop
hours.
And snack?
2 hours, man.
How many times you
stopped
and snack?
I can't say this now. I'm thinking I was walking entirely slow because, like, this old guy, he napped me twice. So I don't, like, I didn't understand it. I'm looking like, how is this dude finna lap me again? But I didn't know if I need to speed up or if I need to just continue doing what I'm supposed to be doing or what. But he lapped me twice, man, out there.
Man, you know that's pretty sad, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just doing what I can do right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming off an injury. You know what I'm saying?
Injury? What kind of injury?
Right now. Yeah, you know, I broke my leg 2 months ago.
You broke your leg? Nobody told me.
Let me tell you why ain't nobody tell you. It was so embarrassing. Al got crossed over by an 8-year-old boy that broke his leg.
He is overly exaggerating my leg break.
Oh, I'm sorry, Al. It's
it
okay.
Was one, it was one of them little bitty kids that's like in the third grade or something like that. And Al, he
you got
did
beat
a,
up
Alan
by a
Iverson
kindergartner?
On him.
You got beat up by a third
know,
grader? Look,
yeah.
Al, 20 years later,
go.
Still getting beat up
y'all
by third
go.
Graders.
Got crossed over.
That's right. Yeah, pick on a little pink tank. You know what I'm saying? That's what y'all do.
I mean, you know, I can't trip either, Alan, man. I mean, yesterday, man, I called myself trying to get back out there on the court. And I know my man, Doug G, you know what I'm saying? He was like, man, get back on the court. That's pretty good. I tried that. I went to the park for a few minutes. And, Lord, it felt like I was out there for 20 years. Them little young boys out there wore me out. I ain't
going
to no more time.
And tell everybody what they were calling you out there, man.
Yeah, but you know what? It was a compliment and an insult at the same time.
Let me tell y'all what I did this weekend.
No, hold on. They were like, that old man can pass. They called me an old man. I'm like, what the hell?
It's okay to be
old man.
That's funny, man.
Oh, okay, well, let me tell y'all back into, like, the real unsportsy world. But anyway, so, okay, a couple of my girlfriends have had some successful dates on Match.com. So Jennifer from The Middleman Show has joined Match.com, and I've got, like, a couple people, like, interested. So, like, on my first date that I'm going on, we're going to test this out on The Middleman Show, and I'm going to report back how this internet dating really works. This is like my first time like being for real with this.
Alright.
And they're all like, yeah, they're all like old, like rich guys. So we'll see what happens. I hope this works out.
What's that girl that died not too long? I ain't putting you in the same category with her, but dang. Old rich white man, really?
I didn't say nothing about white. Why you have to bring that into it? Why
well,
do you
saying,
always
hey,
have
I'm
to do
just,
that?
I'm just justifying what I just said, just like today's topic. Is some racism justified?
Oh.
Hey, let them know what you're talking about.
Anyway.
And never play this song again, please.
Anyway, people, we're going to get into what the topic of today's discussion is about. We don't know what Kevin and Jen are talking about over there. But racism, is it justified? Well, is some of it justified? So we all know what racism means. It's the ongoing battle of members of one race thinking that they are superior to other members of other races. Now, people learn to identify themselves by color, culture, denomination, etc., you know, those things of nature. You know, so the world, of course, we all know, has been fighting itself for centuries over this one word called racism. So by seeing that, is some racism justified? And some of the questions in which we're going to discuss today, should some minorities who openly embrace their stereotypes be upset when they are judged? And why are black males so feared by the Western civilization? Should black people be really upset at white people for stating the obvious? Good question. Should the different races keep their problems internal, or should they seek help outward? And what role does television play in race relations? And how has race relations improved over the last 20 years? And can children identify what racism really is? So, we got some good questions of today. We'll have a great discussion. If you all want to comment, on the chat board, place your comments there. We'll definitely get to it. If you're on the line, if you want to get in on this conversation, make sure you press 1. But the number is 718-508-9972. Got a comment? We'd definitely love to hear it. But we're going to get into this great discussion today. Great topic. So we're going to step on some toes, maybe. I don't know.
Where's our man Nick Eaton at?
He coming, man. Give him time.
You know, like he's all famous now, so you know he has to be like 15, 20
minutes late. Nick is famous, man. Nick got like 20,000 friends on Facebook, man.
Yeah, he's famous now. Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, let's get into this first break right here. If you're new to the Middleman Talk Show, right before we get into the conversation, we try to play a record that will be along the lines of what we're talking about today. And today's record is called What Is It Like? And you may not have heard this record in a long time. It's by a man, Everlast. So after this record right here, we're going to go directly into the conversation. You're listening to the Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. And hopefully, but when we come back from this break, we'll have Nick Eaton on the phone. Y'all check it out. Middleman Talk Show. Thank you.
And we're now back live on the Middleman Talk Show. If you didn't know what that song was, that was Everlast, What It's Like. What It's Like. So today's topic is song racism justified. So all the listeners who just called in or just jumped on the chat, yeah, we're talking about racism again. But we're coming at it from a different angle. Is it justified or is some of it justified? Some of the things we're going to identify today on today's show is, should minorities who openly embrace their stereotypes be upset when they are judged? And why are some black males so, you know, feared in Western civilization? And also, should black people be really upset at white people for stating the obvious? Should the different races keep their problems internal or seek help outward? And what role does television play in race relations? And has race relations improved over the last 20 years? And also, can our children of today identify what racism really is? We're going to get into, you know, our first discussion of the day is, you know, pretty much the minorities who openly embrace their stereotypes. And, you know, every minority has a particular stereotype. Should they be upset when they are judged? You know, that's the biggest question. Anybody want to take a peek out of
that? Well, I do. Last night, I don't know if any of you caught it, I watched a series on CNN called The Muslims Next Door. And it really reminded me today that no race should accept a stereotype where, you know, we're seeing, especially, you know, last year and this year, where communities are really coming together and saying, you know, I don't want these people in our communities. And it's based really upon, you know, what happened on September 11th. And you can it's always wrong to base your opinion on a small few or what a few people have done. And I just think it lessens the community. Did you catch that show?
No, I didn't even get a chance to see it, but I saw the commercials for it.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was really, really sad. Like, you know, this community was bombing, you know, this Muslim mosque. It was terrorizing Muslim people and Arabic people just because of what a few radical people did back in 2011. And you should never base your opinion or base your theory on a race or a religion or a person upon what a individual done. I am one who really believes that you should look at individuals, you know, because
right.
I certainly don't want anyone to judge me by what a few crazy black people have done or a whole lot of crazy black people have done.
Hey, could you do me a favor? Please repeat that question. I got somebody that hit me up and said they didn't catch that first question.
Okay. The first question is, should minorities who openly embrace stereotypes be upset when they are judged?
Okay. I hope y'all caught that. But in my opinion, man, I'm just saying, if you embrace and acting ignorant, you embrace and being a fool, a buffoon, and just, I mean, because, man, we see it every day, man. I'm tired of going into Walmart seeing people walking around with pajamas on and house shoes in the middle of the day. I'm tired of folks walking around, you know what I'm saying, just looking raggedy. And I know that's just an outwardly appearance, but that stereotype, that stereotype, they embrace it because, you know, they look at black folk like you're lazy. They look at you like you're ignorant. You don't know any better. And I think a lot of people embrace that.
Well, yeah. Let's make this a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, I don't know if I live in Georgia, for everyone out there that lives in a different state, but Georgia adapted a law similar to the Arizona law in regards to Hispanic people. And I attended a state meeting about this with different kind of people in the community coming together to say their opinions on whether we should pass this law that really, you know, when it comes down to it, in layman's terms, racially profiles Hispanic people. So do you think because of, should Hispanic people, because of the high illegal immigrant rate in this state and across other states, should they embrace the racism, or should they embrace this law as a whole just to get rid of the few Hispanic people that are here illegally?
Well, I mean, I don't know about them, but I mean, you know, I mean, they should fight. They gonna stick together. A lot of Hispanic people stick together, but like, really, if you think about some of the stuff, what I was just stating is, I don't think Hispanics embrace the whole, you know, stereotype aspect of who they are and what we think of them, more so than blacks do. And as far as dealing with the laws and stuff out there, that's one big perception that ignorant people have as far as when it comes to Hispanic. They're taking our jobs. They're taking everything from us, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Right. I see we got a caller that want to comment on the line. Let's take this caller right quick.
All right, caller from Spike.
Thanks for calling into the Little Man Talk Show.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on? You live.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I saw your topic. It's a very interesting concept, and I think it does need to be addressed. I agree with your last caller of that people shouldn't be judged based on their race at all. I mean, that's putting you into and something you said in your writings here. You know, people think they're better than other people. No one's better than anyone else. If you see something that you don't like from an individual, you know, Dr. King said it, content of character, he was spot
right.
on. If you see something you don't like from an individual, then that becomes an individual thing. You know,
right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that the culture is, you know, that has something to do with every person within that culture. I mean, you know, I understand that we all have certain cultural things. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to talk about those, I think they should be talked about those in spoof because they're just ridiculous. You know, I mean,
right.
It really doesn't matter. Italians eat spaghetti. You know, I mean, that's just stupid. You
that
know what I'm saying? You're talking about people. You're talking about
right.
people. You know, I just think that I think it's a great topic because I think that a lot of things that go on here today. That seem to be racist or geopolitical. I think there is a racism that brews underneath the fabric, but I don't think true racists are coming out and saying it. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of the things that happen that you see on television and so forth that seem to be racist are geopolitical posturing. And it just and the race comes into it because it's been historic as being there in the past. It's a ridiculous thing. Every person is different. I mean, judgment, you know, you're going to make your decisions on me or me on you or individual. But to say that because I don't like Jack, that means I don't like all people that are like Jack. This is just like, you know, have you met all people that are like Jack, you know?
Well, caller, I got a question for you. I want to ask you, as far as you see in society now that I don't know, and it's kind of harsh for me to say this, and I don't mean to you know, pigeon everybody into this aspect, but when you deal with certain black people, it seems like they embrace the ignorance that is portrayed upon us. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that people will, you know, people will tend to be with their friends and adopt certain attitudes of their whatever their race may be, and I think that if you're talking about the way people dress or dress codes or something of that nature.
Not
I think,
to say
you know,
the dress code, maybe, you know, the attitude, the aspect. It's like if you ever met anyone that's from a bad area, a bad neighborhood, they call it the hood or whatnot. And even though you may be from that area, I've seen many of people that didn't embrace that attitude and they made their way out of it. But you see a lot of people that will embrace that attitude. And then when you call them out on it, you call them ghetto or whatever, whatnot, they get upset about it. What do you think about individuals like that?
Well, no, I agree with you. I think that, I don't take that to race as much as I take it. First of all, let's be clear about a couple of things, okay? I mean, there have been people who have been oppressed for long periods of time. Black people,
right.
If you've ever seen a Jewish ceremony, the Jews still pray for the Holocaust and that it never happened again. I mean, they are really, really scarred by that whole process of that time. So you have people who the fabric of their culture has been imposed upon by this this garbage that's been going on. But I would say to anyone, and I know the type of people you're talking about, and I would say to them, you know, hatred isn't going to get you anywhere, man. As people, we need to talk to one another, and it doesn't matter what your race is or who you are. As friends, as community members, we need to talk to one another, and we need to say, man, that ain't going to get you anywhere. I understand your anger. I mean, if you look at Malcolm X, okay, Malcolm X is exactly a perfect example of what you were talking about. He came from a very, very bad situation, and he was very, very mad about it, and he had a damn right to be. You know, I mean, he was very, very angry about it, and you saw the way he was in the beginning of his life, but look at where he ended up. He put it aside, and he said, look, this isn't going to do anything. Only love is going to change this. Okay, and he embraced everybody by the end. He turned around and said, okay, you know, everybody can come in here because we all need to work as people to make this better. And again, Dr. King was in the same kind of a situation, and he immediately turned and said, you know, content of character, man, let's make it about that. If your content isn't good, man, if you're not looking right, tell somebody. It doesn't have anything to do with your race. It's, you know, this is wrong. If you have a bad attitude, then this is wrong. Tell somebody, you know?
And if I may say this, I really think that the problem, like what Kevin said, the people that might dress a certain way or speak a certain way, and I really don't like this word, quote-unquote, ghetto, but I think the problem is with people like us embracing. That, to me, does not represent African Americans. That represents a person who chooses to act that way or dress that way or make certain choices with their life. But if you want to, those qualities embrace the fabric of what it means to be African American? No. And when we as African Americans who embody, you know, good qualities of our race, we shouldn't embrace those as our own. Those don't belong to us. Those belong to those people who choose to act that way.
But, Jen, the perception is that if one group, and I know it's sad to say this, but some people look at us, and you look at the perception of how they look at other people. They look at all black people or some black people as they see others. If I walk down the street and I'm wearing my jersey or I'm wearing my pants, I don't wear my pants sagging. I don't believe in that. But I'm just saying, if I walk and dress a certain way and it's quote unquote urban, I get lumped in with everybody else. And I get upset with that stereotype.
Urban does not equate to a race. Urban equates to urban.
Really?
I know white people that. A lot of people call this show or send emails to this show and ask, is Jennifer black because of the way that I speak? Now, I know people that are white or Hispanic that speak more quote-unquote urban than I do because we have to stop defining, generational cultures or communities as race. They're not one and the same. Just because you grew up, I know white people that grew up in the projects that wear Echo, that wear their pants sagging, and that talk slang, I guess urban slang. Are they pretending to be black, or are they embracing
their
community?
See, this is the thing, and we got to call her. And call her, that's on the line right now. What's your name again?
Me?
Yes.
My name's Paul, man.
Paul? Hey, Paul, man, we appreciate it. If you would like to comment again, man, you can hit that number one, and we'll bring you back in, okay?
Well, I would like to say something now, if I could.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to say I agree with Jen, is it? I think that these are stereotypes, and I think that I think the first impression stereotypes are made with everyone, okay? I'll give you an example, and this is absolutely true. The other day, I was driving down the street, okay, and I'm pulling out of... store, a drive-through type store, and I'm sitting at the corner, and this guy who is like, you know, really, you know, white guy who has got, you know, really like long hair, and he's looking pretty ragged, is walking towards my car. I hit the locks on my door, man. Now, I'm a pretty big guy. Okay, but I hit the locks on my door because, I mean, again, you know, we tend to we will stereotype people based on what we see and our own safety and certain cases, but that's got nothing to do with that individual. If that individual came up to me and proved that, you know, well, maybe he's just down and out or something and everything's cool, then I would be very cool with him. But you know, whether he be white, black, Asian, it doesn't really make any difference. If you're coming and you're looking at me like that, you know, I you know, and I think you'd do the same thing. It'd be like,
right.
Well, wait a minute, man, I don't want to hassle here, you know. So, you know,
right.
I think those are stereotypical things, and I don't think we can take a whole community or a whole people and judge. I don't look at him because he's hippie-esque and say that everyone who believes what he believes is bad.
I agree. I agree with everything you said, and we thank you for the call right there. We want to bring this next caller in.
Okay,
thank you, Paul. Caller 662, you're live, 662-812, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Okay.
I think we just lost that caller there.
Hello?
Yeah, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? It's Hammer, man.
Hey, what's up with you, Hammer?
What's up? How you doing, Jay?
I am fine.
All right. Now, I had to go and jump in. I've been listening for a minute. I kind of agree with Paul and Jennifer on this one. And I think that it's a thin line that has been kind of fused together when it comes to racism and stereotypes, because they're two different things. Stereotypes are usually acquired by what a group of people does more often, and usually it's not necessarily a particular race. It could be a particular side of town, you know, where someone works or go to school, which would draw certain stereotypes from them.
Right. Now
racism is a whole other different page, and a lot of times we get them confused, just like you were saying, how you dress urban. I dress urban sometimes, and I dress casual. You know, I can clean up pretty good, but sometimes I like to throw on
some
t-shirt and jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, I don't believe in sagging, but I know that with just a slight drag of my pants or you know, my shirt too big or the way I turn my hat, that urban can quickly turn from urban wear to ghetto.
Right.
You know.
But see now, this one point I want to make to everyone, and this what I wanted to say was, the key word that we're missing in this whole conversation is embrace.
Exactly.
There are some people that embrace the stereotypes. They love it. They want to live like, you know. So we got songs out there. I'm a, you know what I'm saying. I'm happy to be a, you know.
The biggest thing that you know people are forgetting about too is that, you know, when a child sees it and they grow up, you know, modeling that behavior, they're going to continue to do what? Model the behavior.
They're going to model the behavior. How can you change something that you, how can you learn something you've never been taught? You see, and for us to embrace it, that all becomes, comes from which team we decide to play on. Now, when I say team, I mean basically by the people that you choose to surround yourself with. If you surround yourself by positive, influential people that's going to help you advance and progress in life, you stand a better chance of doing things in a positive manner. But when you are in a situation where you're surrounded by idiots, you're going to do what idiots do, because you can't learn something that you've never been taught. And that's where it comes from, where it comes in a lot of people embracing stuff. Like we got guys that's been in the hood a long time, you know, and it's all about a choice. Like Paul was saying, it's content and character. Sooner or later, we're all adults. Even some of us that are up in our age don't have an adult mind.
Right.
And it all depends on what that person chooses to accept, because we know wrong from right. We know that stealing is wrong. These are things that we've been taught a long time ago. If we hadn't taught, if we weren't taught them at home, we were taught them at school. Somebody
right.
said it. You know, we got in trouble for it. And this is all what a person chooses to accept. And
right.
accepting is not necessarily embracing. Embracing is accepting something that you know is right. You
right.
see?
Right.
I think the point of our thing is, like, a lot of people accept, like, they embrace that sagging pants are a black thing, and that's part of being black. Is that and talking and speaking slang, that's part of being black. And being, quote-unquote, urban, that equates to blackness. And if you don't embrace that, you're contradicting your race. Embracing your race. And
but
I don't agree with that at all. Some people do think that. I was tortured as a child because of the way that I speak, where, you know, black kids would not mess with me. They would not play with me. They would ostracize me because of the way that I spoke, because they equated the way that I speak with my blackness. I wasn't black enough, or I'm trying to be another race because of the neighborhood that I grew up in, which is unfair. But I think now, in the generations now, and the kids I see now, I don't see that I don't see that happening as much as it was in the past.
Like I was going to say earlier, I think that, you know, people like yourself, you know, myself, we know better, so that's why we don't get upset when people try to come with us with that ignorance. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then there are times when I do, you know, I mean, somebody hit you with something just out of left field, you know, like they see you, hey, man, you play football. Like, I know that ain't nothing, you know, spectacular, but I'm like, man, come on, man. I can't be intelligent?
Yeah. You see, we get that a lot as a, race. When I came down to Mississippi, 16 years old, it's a totally different walk from Gary, Indiana.
Right.
And because I choose, you know, I instead of chasing skirts, I decided to chase money, you know. And by chasing money, I knew you can't really catch money without education, you know. And that's what I wanted to go after. I wanted to go after the degree. I wanted to go after a big bank account. I wanted to go after a nice car, and that's the road I chose. But a lot of my friends, still to this day, will tell me, "Well, man, you know, when you do better, there's always going to be a crab waiting to pull you back down or trying to. Well, you think you're this, or you think you're that, you forget where you came from." No, I didn't forget where I came from. That's why I'm trying to get as far away from there as I possibly can. You know, who wants to settle for nothing? And it's only those that are ignorant and don't know any better, because they were never shown any better, that
right.
chooses to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it all depends on, like I say, what team a person is on. If a person doesn't know any better, how can we fault them?
Right.
If
we
can only see.
I think minorities, especially in America, minorities, it has been ingrained into the American fabric that minorities somehow think that being poor or being underclass, you know,
status,
same thing as being a minority. But
yeah.
we live in a place called America where class can, I mean, I don't want to say like class and how you act, but like it's as far as like your status, like as far as your financial status or where you stand or even how you act, is based upon the individual, and it has nothing to do with where you're born or how much
time
you have.
But at the same time, you have some people that think that we're looking down at them because they choose to be in the hood. They want to be in the hood.
Right.
They love the hood. You know what I'm saying? There's certain things that we all go through. They, you know, I know we can look at the glass from one side, you know what I'm saying, and speak from one side. But you have some people out there that they're comfortable with that. They love that surrounding. They love the loud music. I'm just talking about our people because that's who I've been around. You know what I'm saying? They love this. And from my opinion, it's ignorant as ignorant as all outdoors to me. But they don't look at it like that. They love it.
What do y'all think about people like that?
I think all of us are guilty at one time or another for judging a book by its cover. You know, and some people just lack the initiative to do better for themselves. A lot of us walk around thinking that the next person owes us something. You know, and it's real evident in this generation of our kids now. You know, 18, 19 years old, man, wow. But a lot of us just don't want it. We don't want to pay the price for success.
That leads into you know, back to what we were speaking about. I think a lot of African Americans make the mistake of saying or having a view, or not even African Americans. I see other minorities doing this as well, where they say, well, white people owe us because, you know, it's the white man this and it's the white man that and it's the white man this. Have we been oppressed? I've never been one to deny that black people or minorities have been oppressed in this nation for hundreds of years. But, you know, in present day time, it is up to the individual to embrace and to get around the ignorance, the stereotypes, and the racism. You can, because there's been thousands of people who have done so. And if you allow yourself to be caught up in the trap of thinking that, I think that's another way of oppression.
It is.
We got another call on the line. Hey, if you want to get back in the conversation, just press that number one, man. We appreciate you for tuning in and giving that good insight, man.
All right.
All right, stay on the line. You ain't got to hang up if you don't want to.
Yeah, I'm still on.
All right. Caller 404, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. Caller 404.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, just taking it one day at a time. I'm actually out in Amarillo, Texas. I'm a truck driver.
Okay, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, just taking it one day at a time. You got a very interesting topic up there.
Okay, thank you.
You know, first of all, you know, my name is Apostle James Abrams.
Hey, what's up, man?
And, You know, it's interesting that you talk about this racism thing.
Okay.
You know, I mean, when you really look at, you know, you have to accept people's differences.
Okay.
You know, you have to, you know, embrace the differences because, you know, we all are different.
Right.
But basically, you know, when you really, we're really all the same.
Right.
And, you know, I think when you start looking at, you know, superiority, that one race is superior than another, I think that's a form of ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, and, you know, that's where racism comes, is when one race, for some apparent reason, and derives to some conclusion and put that in their brain that they're much better than another race because another race may not do what they do.
Right. Well, what do you think? I mean, I can't, you know, to me, like my man Hammer was saying earlier, there are differences between racism and stereotypes, but I think we all do have our prejudices because, like, Al joke at me all the time about saying this. I told Al, I'm not a racist person, but I do prejudge. I'm a prejudiced person because, I mean, I still lock my doors. I'm prejudging people there. You know what I'm saying? I cover up my bank card when I'm putting my, you know, numbers in. I do all these things because that's part of life. But when you have people out here, and you know, we're going to move on to the next part of our question also. But, and I don't want to feel like I'm looking down on my own people because they embrace the ignorance that is thrust upon us and we just repetuating it. It's crazy to me. I look in every hood. I look in every area, you know, we got people that's in the suburb now acting like they from the hood. They acting like that. You know what I'm saying? You got people walking through the mall saying I'm a thug. They embrace the drug dealer lifestyle. They embrace all these things. I know there is a difference in each and every one of us. But,
right.
You know, we should have some type of line where we draw where we like, hey, man, we better than this. You can do better than this. I don't care what race it is. Like I said, I'm speaking upon mine because I am that. You know.
Right.
To everybody else out there on the phone line, if you want to get in the conversation, you can press number one. To all our listeners that's on the internet, dial 718-508-9972. Now, Brother James, what do you think about the people that openly embrace these attitudes?
Well, I think they don't really know any better. They don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
See, they get really caught up into, you know, they get caught up into the wrong thing. See, a lot of times, you know, we think what's popular is always what's right, and that's not always the case.
That's right.
And, you know, it's not really what you have that determines you. It's really who you serve that determines you.
Right.
You know, it's really who you serve. And you know, if you don't know the truth, I mean, how can you derive from the truth? And you know, I think a lot of times we hear with the wrong ears, and we see with our wrong eyes.
That's true.
That's right.
Now, the only problem I had with that, and I'll be honest with you, man, I was fortunate enough to have the sight to see, and that's not saying I see everything that's in front of me, but I did have the opportunity to see people that did things the correct way. You know what I mean? I grew up around people that, you know, they embraced what was around them. That was what it was. That was life to them. But then in the same aspect, I had people that I knew that was trying to live better, even though they didn't have a lot. They respected what they had. They respected who they were, and they respected what was around them. And I had the opportunity to see that, and that therefore put in my mind, hey, if I do these things, I can live better also. And I think
I'm gonna throw this out here, and I just had this conversation.
Okay.
With my better half. I said, how can you respect a drug dealer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have no respect for a drug dealer. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
When you sell drugs to someone, you're not doing them any good. I mean, so how can you evenly respect a drug dealer? I don't care how much money they make. I don't care, you know, what kind of car they drive or what kind of house they live in. How can you really truly respect a drug dealer?
But you have some people that do, brother. I mean, in every neighborhood, from our culture and rap music, from our culture on television, and just seeing the everyday sights of the neighborhoods, these guys are looked upon as heroes. And you would not know them.
And if I may say this.
The reason why they are. The reason why they're looked upon as our heroes is because the materialistic nature that they broadcast.
There you go.
Younger kids don't understand that. You know, so they don't understand what they do behind closed doors. Only thing that they understand is that, okay, this guy's driving the car that I seen in the magazine yesterday that I want when I grow up. Or he's wearing the clothes, or he's pulling out all this money that I wish I can hold in my hand. I want to be like him.
And I think that it's individual people and not races. And I think that, going back to what we were saying earlier, we have to learn as a people that teaching excellence and teaching greatness isn't the same thing as teaching supremacy. Just because I teach you that you are great and that you can achieve this and this is where you can go with your life and this is where you can take your community and the people around you, this is the kind of example you can set, that's not supremacy. That's teaching someone how to be great and to be an asset to their community. And sometimes we as a people mistake other communities, you know, they're teaching their children that as them teaching their children supremacy. If you have a community in Connecticut and they teach their children, you know, you can go to Harvard and you can be this and you can be that, should I begrudge them because they teach their children greatness and how to be great and show them the path to get there? Greatness doesn't equal supremacy. And I think sometimes we mistake that.
Man, that's real talk, Jen. That's real spit. I see we got our man Nick just walking in the building. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, he's all fashionably, famously late.
Oh, there you go. Just to kind of to add to what Jen was saying, I think another thing that we also have to look at is we also have to look at the parenting or lack thereof. One, a lot of the reasons that other cultures look up to what we have in our culture, like Kev said, I can't speak to anybody else's culture but ours. We glorify a lot of the wrong stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what they see our culture has infiltrated the rest of the world and impacted so much that they look to us for the fashion forward, for the, you know, the new trends, the new style, and we just happen to glorify the wrong things. One of the main reasons we glorify the wrong things, and I think this falls on a lot of black fathers, is because when there isn't a male presence around, children, both boys and girls, look for a strong male presence. Unfortunately, in a lot of our neighborhoods, the only strong presence that we have is those drug dealers. If you look at it, okay, look at it like this. We all grew up, and there was a certain element that may have not have been right next to us, but we knew where it was. We knew where the bad stuff was going on. But I know for me, I had positive male influences in my life that showed me the right way to do it. So I knew that when I saw the drug dealers out there and this and that, I knew that was wrong. So I didn't glorify it. And I think a lot of us can speak to that, but for a good majority of us, they don't have, they're looking for that strong male presence, and too often, that's what they see. So they tend to glorify that. And since we have such a big impact on the world as far as our culture goes, they glorify it too.
That's and when
true.
They look to radio and the TV and magazines, and when they
exactly.
see representations of us, that's what is seen. And not even other cultures, inside our own culture too, like Nick just said, a lot of kids, they see, you know, what should I emulate? I should emulate Lil Wayne because he's the one who's famous. He's the one I should inspire to be him because, you know, he's successful.
That's the reason I couldn't stand when he made that statement, you could maybe be the next Lil Wayne. I was so upset when he made that statement.
Well,
right.
Not me, because a lot of people don't understand. I'm not saying that Lil Wayne went to Harvard, but a lot of people, a lot of our kids do not separate. If Lil Wayne didn't have successful business people, he is a businessman, he is a brand. He has successfully, whether his brand is good or bad, he has successfully manipulated his brand to make him millions of dollars. Now, if we can take that kind of initiative, if we can take that kind of branding and initiative and drive, you could be the next great, you can be the little Wayne that puts out a positive message, instead of a negative one.
If that's the case, they should have said the next Slim Williams, because he was actually the businessman behind that drove that. Lil Wayne was.
Well, people don't know his name, Nick. People don't know his
name. That's the problem. There's a lack of education about the people who are actually making those moves. So the people, if these kids don't know who to look up to, they're just going to go by what they see on the surface. That's why you have to educate people about these things. That's why everybody has this perception of what black culture is.
You have to think about this, too. But you also got to think about this, too. Now, true enough, Gene, yes, Lil Wayne, you know, successfully, you know, did his thing on the business side. But the kids don't know that. The only thing that they know is what Lil Wayne says in his lyric. And they think Lil Wayne is really living his lifestyle that he's really seeing in his lyrics. So they're going
to
grow up being that Lil Wayne. Not the other one.
But to the adult.
That Lil Wayne.
To the adults in our communities. To the adults in our world. These people only give us what is demanded of them. We ask them for buffoonery, and that's exactly what we get. We ask them for glorified gangsterism, that's exactly what we get, and that's exactly the product that they produce. If we start demanding and start asking for these people to come to the limelight, tell these children the truth about how your brand came to be and how you came to be upon your millions and how you execute your business plan. If we start demanding these things upon these artists, then they will produce them. But we can't sit back and complain and we don't demand anything of our communities.
All right, let's move on into the next part of this right here. And I know we want to talk a little bit about why black men are so feared in Western civilization, but also I think we should go into, should black people really be upset at white people for stating the obvious? As far as, just like y'all talking right now, rappers. When I look at the black, if I was a white person, I'm looking at black people, I'm thinking about all these jokers that want to do it. Rap, entertain us, all these things.
I mean,
should we be upset because they're stating the obvious?
You got to look at it right now. When you walk out, if we walk outside, we'll run across 15 different rappers in 15 different minutes.
because everybody rap now. The majority of the people that you see that are out here rapping are who? African American. They thinking this, you know, this is my ticket to get to the next level. But then they also taking it to another level. Okay, I gotta portray this image as a Lil Wayne type image or a Gucci Mane, you know, image in order for me to be successful, which is ignorant, foolery. Yep.
And a fearful image, because a lot of rappers,
exactly,
man, even though these guys are like 5 foot tall, 130 pounds soaking wet, but when they on television, you know, which is the idiot box, they look like the most menacing thing in America. And once they meet people like us, they think revert right back to those guys on television. And like I was saying earlier, though, man, it's funny that we sit up here and we don't realize that, yes, it's obvious that, you know, when you see us out here, and that's the only thing, you know, that's the only thing we, you know, aspire to be, a rapper, a ball player. And when I hear another rapper, if I ever hear another rapper say my rap career, I'm going to throw a rock from the tallest building I can, and hopefully I hit him. Because rap and career is an oxymoron. We got another caller, yo.
Yes. Call, we got another caller, man.
252-256, you live on the Gentleman's Talk Show.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going?
All right, you live on our show, yo.
So how are you doing overall?
Man, we're doing well. How about yourself?
Hello.
Can
and
you
let
hear?
Me just be honest with you.
You're right here.
Let me ask you something.
Okay, shoot.
Are you avoiding reality?
And what is reality?
Do you understand at all what I'm saying?
Reality is what it is.
I think I understand what he's saying, and this is what the comment that I was going to say before we took the call.
Hold on, Jen. I want to hear what he has to say.
Why are you so hair-triggered? Well, how does that sound to you?
Are you asking me?
Yeah?
Caller, we can't hear you. Can you repeat the question again, please?
Are you avoiding reality?
Could you elaborate? What do you mean by avoiding reality?
Are you mad?
Okay. I guess he's having a little fun this Sunday, and we do appreciate you for calling in. Let's move on, Jen. What was your question again?
But what I was going to say is, well, to the reality thing, this is the same argument. Like, I work with, if you know me, you know, I try to work with kids. You know, I have a little sister, you know, and I was heavily involved in school systems. And there used to be a big fight about, like, certain books like Harry Potter and this and that. And my argument always was, if your children don't know the difference between fantasy and reality, then you have a big problem. The same thing with as far as rappers and you know, urbanists or whatever. If your kids don't know that, you know, the rap music thing on the TV, like the video on the TV, that those are costumes and those are, you know, that is entertainment and that is not representation of a people, then you have a larger problem than the rappers who, they're getting paid. That's their job. Their job is to entertain. If we was in a different era, they would be a court jester. That is their job. That is what they do. But that does not equate what a people, you know, that does not define a people or equate to what someone is.
Right.
That is not reality. And we as a community need to start repeating this to children and to young people in our communities. Everyone has a responsibility to do that. But we, especially African Americans, I think we have fallen victim of the me era. Where we, you know, 50, 60 years ago, African Americans had a community where it was no I, it was we. And now, you know, in this present day and age, it is I am only looking out for me and my family. What you know, the Johnson family doing next door, that has nothing to do with me. But we need to start embracing the we and the I, and then maybe people will look at our community a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to, you know, add on to that too, Jen, is that, you know, the character trait within the community. You know, we also talked about this earlier too, but you know how like we call it, the hood mentality. And, you know, they present that hood mentality in public. You know, as far as, you know, you're cussing, you know, you're calling each other, you know, slang names. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, okay, you can be at Walmart and you can be right in front of, you know, two black girls and, you know, they're, you know, smacking their gum and shaking their neck, you know, popping their fingers and this, that. And, you know, I'm going to get this, you know, nigga when I get to the house and all of that, you know, in front of all these white people. And then, you know, you look at me, you know, I'm not saying anything, and I'm looking at the same thing these white people looking at. You know, I'm like, why are they acting so, you know, ignorant inside the store, being loud and stuff like that as well? So, I mean, yes, I'm upset for, you know, stating the obvious or seeing the obvious. Yes, I'm upset with that.
Yeah, we upset, but, you know, it's funny. Like I said, you know, it's funny that when some other race states the obvious, we don't want to entertain that thought process. You know, we don't want to entertain that.
I do. If you're being ignorant and you're at the store, that you're being ignorant. I don't care, like, who you are, like, if we're the same race or not. If you're not a representation of Jennifer, you're not a representation of me.
But see, this is the thing about it. You are blessed to understand all the things that's surrounding you and the things that, you know, that we deal with on a daily basis as a people, race, and everything else. But there are some people that they mind ain't on your level. They look at us like, I'm surprised we ain't get one caller to call in today to say, why y'all looking down on black people? Why y'all looking down on these people because they don't know better? I mean, that's how some people, like, we got a couple friends right now. That when
that's
we
right.
say certain things about the hood, they get damn upset.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep it real. Let's bring this next
call
in. Call it 945-638. Let's bring this call in. Call it. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
How you guys doing today?
Hey, what's going on? Is that Valerie?
No, this is Linda.
Oh, how you doing,
Linda?
I apologize. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to go so many different places with this. My mind is about to explode. You know, what we fail to realize is that even though things start at home, you have to offer to the ones that you can reach and tell them to do better. Because, you know, the way I was brought up, you know, even though I was in the middle of the ghetto, you know, when Rick Ross talks about Big Meech, Larry Hoover used
yes,
to stay on my first floor.
Right.
You know, I grew up, you know, looking out the window at the pimps and the hoes and this and that, and just like, you know, living in a terrified surrounding, but yet still, my mother trying to keep a certain ambiance in the home
right.
that, you know, don't go out there and do that. So I kind of grew up with a little, I don't want to say an edge on my shoulder, a little chip on my shoulder, like I thought I was better than everybody else because she was trying to make me be better than what I saw. And I misconstrued that. And, you know, and then so when you do get out there and you go to school and mix in with the other kids, you know, they will bring you down a notch to let you know, hey, you ain't no better than us. And that's when I had to realize, well, hey, I need to give them a little of me and learn how to gel with them, because sometimes all a kid needs is to be reached. And, you know, we can hate on rap music all day.
Right.
They don't know the foundation of rap music. They don't know the foundation of poetry, of art, of Gil Scott-Heron and the people before them, you know. They don't know the meaning of a real griot and what that means. But at the same time, I don't see people who want to go to places to try to have workshops to teach them, to tell them, yeah, you can do something with your raps. And the thing is, to teach kids, don't say forget Lil Wayne, just tell them, you know, you can be so much better than that sucker right there.
Exactly.
And like you said, show them, it's not just him, it's you got to do a drawing board. You know, somebody needs to start this. You know, we can talk all day, but until somebody starts, it's nothing. And be like, hey, this man here stands behind him. This one over here is holding him up over here, and he doesn't do this alone. You know, that's the reason so many kids, they might do have a little knowledge, a little talent. I like to, now I may be prejudiced in saying this, but I like to think black folks are some of the most talented folks in the world.
Mm-hmm,
we
I
come
agree.
From a place where we haven't had to go to school and learn half the things that we know how to do. But you know what? By me being in a place where I know how talented we are, if nobody shows you the blueprints to do what to do with that, you don't know. And sometimes, even dealing with people that can't hardly read or write, or they feel a little dumber and because they don't know this and that, they act out by being loud and doing this and that. You're talking about the neck rolling and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that to get attention, thinking it's for some reason this is going to intimidate you or make you look at them better, when not knowing, no, it's really making you look even more, you know, stupid than what you are.
Yes,
and it's
right.
not just, and it's not just the African Americans. I mean, it is. But, you know, somebody, I'm quick to interject, to take up for everybody.
Right,
you know,
right,
I'm at
and
school,
I agree.
I'm an older person, but I was at school the other day, and, you know, some black young lady was talking about she was digging a guy with gold teeth in his mouth, and the white lady jumped up. And she was like, oh, my God, you like that? And I said, hold up. First of all, man is not in here. Let's not talk about him and his teeth. Because if you really want to go back, I'll give you some knowledge. The Jews had gold teeth in their mouth, some of them.
Mm.
It was their way of saying that we have something because we are here in the ghetto. And they did call the slums where the Jews came from the ghetto, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you don't know the history of why somebody has chose to do something. We can't judge him. We didn't just go sit down and have a conversation with that brother and ask him, why you got five gold teeth in your mouth? Now, we may know us other black folks that we don't want to run around with them. And I don't want to date a man with them. I don't want to date a man. That's sagging. But the culture has put it out there in such a way. To me, we have the best and the worst culture at the same time. Because yet, everyone wants to be like us, but at the same time, we're on the echelon where we're teaching everybody the worst things in the world also.
Mm-hmm.
You're
exactly right. I agree with you 100% because we are the most loved and despised in the same breath.
Yep.
Yes. And one thing I would like to ask you guys, too, also, so, you know, we keep everything moving. Now, we do have a question as far as the races internalizing their problems or seeking help outward. Do y'all feel like, you know, she kind of alluded to that as far as, and we always say it too, if we can handle it at home, we can handle it at home. But do y'all ever see any other races seeking help outside of their race to get help for their race? Or should we just take that inward and work on it ourselves? What do y'all think about that?
I think you should look at the example of, now, I don't begrudge anyone who is for the betterment of their family and their community. And I think that you can take note from other races who have successfully done that. Just like, you know, I think sometimes we mistake teaching your children and teaching the next generation their greatness or their ability to achieve greatness with, you know, thinking that they are, you know, superior or supremacy. I don't equate the two. Are there people out there like white power, black power? You know, there are people like that. But just because you teach your children, you know, where they can go and how to do it, that does not make you greater. And I think especially the African-American community need to take a look at some of the races or communities that have successfully mapped out a way for generation to generation to generation to come. Now, you look at some white communities, now, there, I know, you know, I have friends who will always have money because of what their great-great-great-grandfather done. And we need to take note of that. I want my great-great-great-grandchildren to be successful because of the steps that I made here today. And I think that we need to start doing that as a community. And there's nothing wrong with looking at the example of others.
And as many things that we have created, if our ancestors hadn't created all these things, half the part of civilization wouldn't even be going on. Everything, you know, from the buffet bar to putting biscuits in a can to everything else. But yet at the same time, our generations of people, their kids ain't getting no money off of that because some white man came along and the black person was dumb and didn't know nothing. And they said, hey, us having 35 cents is better than whatever. We need this 35 cents today. But yet, somebody else got the brand on that, to the same time. I mean, you have to teach your kids how to take wins, how to take losses. It ain't all about the big game. Sometimes it's about winning the little game, and you just got to learn how to teach kids in a whole different way. I mean, and as for being, you know, criticizing our black folks or being racist, mm-hmm. something like that, I sat right up in the hallway today and looked. 10 little youngins running past me, and the very last one, his uncle was walking right with him, and the uncle, of course, was an adult, and that little one, his pants, just like his uncle, and
wow.
he blow his butt, he holding his crotch, and he was about 4 or 5 years old, and I sat there and said to myself, oh, that's the one probably going to be the robber when he grow up. Now, I know I was wrong for that when I said that, but then at the same time, I said, you know you're wrong for that. That's what I said to myself right behind. I said, you know you're wrong for that, because he could grow up and be president, but if somebody gets to him in the right way, because kids would emulate whatever it is they see,
yes.
you know, and they think because... As JVM said, well, we taking the word back. You know, they thinking that's something, but really, no, it's, you know, you can try to take up for it all you want, but when it gets down to it, when the words were used the way they were and this and that, it's really not taking back. You just steadily brutalizing your own people in a certain type of way, and it's
yep.
all about the dollar. It's all
yes,
about
ma'am.
The dollar now.
And we thank you for your call. If you want to give us a call back again, you know, we on every Sunday at this time. We have very interesting conversations every week. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And we do appreciate you for your comments today.
Of course. And you guys always have a great show.
Yes, ma'am. Well,
right,
thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
All right. All the callers out there, if you want to get into this conversation, press that number one. If you're already in, press number one again and clear yourself out, and then press number one again to get back in. I see we got a caller that want to jump right in. Caller 662-812. I think this is him again. Caller?
Yes, it's me again.
All right, what's
that? All right, man, this just got real interesting. And I think I know where the guy was coming from when he asked the reality question.
Okay.
You know, my dad told me when I was 14, he said some things to me kind of hurt my feelings. When he was scolding me about something, and he told me that the truth is like medicine. Nobody wants to take it, but once you get it, it definitely does you some good.
Right.
And when it came to the society question and the reality question, whether we like what a person does to gain that success or whether we approve of it or not, doesn't erase the fact that it's made that success. Just like the young man was asking, said he couldn't respect a drug dealer. Now, I have a few friends that are quote-unquote street pharmacists. Now, I can respect them as the men that they are, but I can't support and respect what they do. But even though they are drug dealers, and what makes a businessman is not the fact that he graduates from an accredited college or he wears a suit. What makes a businessman is simply the fact that he uses
right.
his knowledge of what he has, the tools of what he has to gain his success, be it a drug dealer, a rapper, a college grad, even the guy on the side of the street that sells tomatoes. You see what I'm saying? And all that, whether we agree with any aspect of it or not, all that makes our community, because one side of our community, one spoke could not spin without the other ones. Just the same as saying there could be no good without evil.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, am I making sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Now, just like the guy from Texas said, it all depends on who we serve. Most of us came up in the church, and I think that when you have God in your life, you're able to pass a little bit of that on to someone who doesn't have it or is kind of unsure or uncertain about certain things or certain areas.
Right.
And that little bit of knowledge, whether it's coming from the church, from the school, from the parent, from an uncle, from a friend that knows better, that could be the key factor in changing somebody's aspect of what they choose to accept.
Amen.
Whether it's a ghetto mentality or a, you know, a businessman. You know, we all, like I said, are guilty of judging a book by the cover at one time. I have a friend named Robert. And Robert is one of these guys that if you was walking down the street or down a dark alley and you saw him coming, you would probably walk the other way.
I'm one of them dudes,
you know. But once you get to know Robert, you realize that he is so smart, it's actually offensive. You see what I'm saying? He can actually become offensive how smart he is. And then a lot of us don't take the time to turn the page in the book or even look on the back to read anything about the author. We're simply just going off what we see. And that's where the prejudice is comes in all of us. And instead of the stereotype, like I said, stereotype is basically arrived by what a group of people or individuals do the most. Which most of the time they're true, you know, most of the time they're funny. But all of us have our certain prejudices about people. And I just wanted to put that out there about the reality question, that times have changed. And if all of us did the same thing the same way, if all of us went to school and got our degree and we waited till we were married to have kids and all of that, that wouldn't be a community. That would be a manufacturing factory.
Yep.
You understand? So it's all of the negative and the positive things that make our world go round, because once we take one out, it's like a domino effect. It creates a negative situation for the other one, because we simply cannot rotate without the other, whether we choose to accept them or not.
True. Very true, man. Say, just come on here and throw them bombs like that and expect us to follow that up.
I'll just lay the hammer down, baby. That's what I do.
I'm just saying.
Good conversation.
I'm just saying, man. How we gonna follow that up? But I mean, you know, everything that you said is relevant, and it makes a lot of sense, because it's simple layman's term. Each one teach one. If I know better, I'm supposed to show you better. If I got the knowledge, that's what it is, and that goes beyond color, races, anything. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when we get to that point where we get stuck in neutral, and that seems like a lot of people stuck in neutral right now, that's where we get all this ignorance and everything just stay in that mud, you know, just constantly spinning with the dumbest. And that seems like where a lot of people are. Hopefully, like the sister was saying earlier, you know, if we can take this and talk to people and let people know, hey, this is how you change your life. We can change the whole prejudice aspect of people, the whole stereotyping aspect of people, how people are treated. Maybe we can change some things from that standpoint. Now,
right. You
know, we got a couple other questions in here we want to get to, and before we run out of time, we're going to skip maybe one or two of them. I want to get to this one directly. Has race relations improved over the last 20 years, and can children of today identify with racism? Well, identify what racism really is. And that's one thing we want to post to everybody that's out there. If you're on the phone line, you want to get in this conversation, press number one. If you're on the internet listening, you can dial 718-508-9972. I know all of y'all got free weekends, so quit tripping. But what do you guys think about the race relations that we have now?
Go ahead, Carl. I'm sorry.
No, you can go ahead, man.
Okay, well, I mean, I see that, it's evolving to other minorities, and like on down, it seems like, you know, of course, you know, we had, you know, African-Americans, you know, as far as us, you know, way back in the day, but, you know, we also got to look at, you know, Asian America was also suppressed at certain times, too, you know, back when we were, you know, suppressed as well, but then you also got the Jews, and then you also got the, you know, the Italians, and then, you know, and it came back again to African Americans on the Civil Rights Movement, and then, you know, now it's more towards, you know, the Hispanic nation. You know what I'm saying? And then of course we had, you know, the Arabic thing, you know, going in, you know, back when 9/11 was around. So it seemed like
everything was either blamed or picked on by a particular race to say this race caused this problem. So, you know, I don't think it has improved at all.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. My man Hammond, if you want to get back in, press that number one again, because we had a lot of noise coming off your line right there. But I look at the kids now, and Jen, you can chime in, whatever, because you sure enough got quiet over there.
I'm just saying, y'all talk.
but as far as the relations that we have, I think we're more educated, and, you know, we know better. I mean, man, we're connected in ways
I can't say that everybody is educated. I think that since the generation that we grew up in, we're educated because now we're those adults to those children now. Now,
but what I was saying, though, Ed, we're connected in more ways,
right,
though, Ed.
I think we have more educated people.
But I think a dangerous thing is happening now, where we see a decline, not only in African Americans, but as a whole, as America, we see a decline in the push for education. If you look around now with the economy, the way it is, across all states, one of the first things that they're cutting, which is just amazes me, is education. Education, look how many teachers have furlough days. Look at, and this is not only happening in my state, I watch the national news, and it's happening on a national level. So if you have a people that's already, you know, got his head already above the water, and then you have this, you know, decline in education, then something dangerous is going to happen with the next generation. Now, our parents and their parents, one of the big things that they pushed was go to college, get educated. You cannot, you know, be successful, you know, without you having education. And like Al said, we are those adults now. But the kids that are growing up now, I don't see that same kind of push coming from the adults of this generation upon the younger generation. And it scares me.
I mean, because I look at it like, they're teaching them to go to work, but they're not teaching them to, you know, understand that it's okay to be a certain color. You know, it's okay to, you know, to have friends of different, you know, shades or tones in their skin, you know, or have friends from different neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Because we still have those cliques, you know, in our school. You know, you have your preps, you have your jocks, you have your cheerleaders, you know, you have your people who are just in between, you got your intelligent people, then you got your ones who just are to themselves by themselves. You know what I'm saying?
I have a little sister, if everybody listens to the show, and she's 16, and so I'm always asking about, you know, schools and trying to get involved and stuff like that. I still see now, like, you know, one of the hurtful things, like, she has AP history. And, you know, if I didn't have discussions with her about history, about, you know, not just African history, about world history, about different cultures and communities and stuff like that, that's still not being taught here in 2011 within the school system. It's only a one European-sized, you know, lesson, European-focused lesson that's being taught and distributed. It's within the school system. And if you do not have the knowledge coming from you at home, you're ignorant to that.
Not everybody got a gin in the house.
Right.
I'm just keeping
it
real. Some people just don't know. And they go, you know, constantly, steadily, just don't know. Now, as, you know, in my opinion, as far as the race relations, you know, I think that these kids that we have now, I think they're connected, and I said it earlier, I think they're connected more, you know. They know it, you know, they have more knowledge, and it may not be the appropriate or proper knowledge, as you stated, Jen. They probably don't know the right history. But somewhere along this line, somebody going to want to know the right over the wrong. And hopefully, you know, it will continue until, I know, yes, we know better. I think the kids behind us, they know a little bit more than us. They choose not to. They choose to act ignorant to a certain degree. But hopefully along this line, they will learn. I really hope that they will. I'm an optimist. I hope that they will. I'm not going to be negative on it. But we do appreciate everybody that was on the phone line with us today. We appreciate everybody that was on the web chat today. anybody, hey, Black Man 37, appreciate you, man. James, Abram, our guest, Della Proser, if I pronunciated that right, I do apologize. But, hey, we thank everybody that was on the web chat today and listening to us on Facebook or however you're listening to us. I see our co-host, Nick Eaton, stepped out again. He's gone missing. We missed him for this conversation because he did come up with this particular topic, and we would love to have his opinion on this. Now, what we're about to do, people, we're about to play a song that's appropriate for this show. I want to give everybody on this line a warning. There's some words in there that y'all may not want to hear. And it's not all curse words. It's the N-word, but it's appropriate. I want y'all to listen to this young man. He signed a Def Jam record. If you Def Jam Records, if you listen to our show, you always hear him on our outro. So this is from his new album that they just released. It's free. It's Return of Forever, and it's by an artist by the name of Big Krit. That's K-R-I-T. This song is called Just Another N-Word, but he had it broken down. Another naive individual glorifying greed and encouraging racism. Y'all break that down. That's another Nick. I don't like saying that word, but here we go. This is Big Krit. We appreciate everybody for listening to the Middleman Talk Show. Y'all support this guy. Tell everybody about us. Click the follow button on Blog Talk Radio. Make your profile. Click the follow button. We do have a page on Blog Talk Radio. Click the like button. Tell friends. We're at 500 right now. We want 1,000.
Yes,
we
sir.
Hope that we have good shows for you guys, that you guys can love it, be entertained and educated, mm-hmm. because a lot of our guests are educated. We try to be as an entertaining show as we can, but y'all keep tuning in with us. And this is Big
Krit.
And
if you all have a... I have a show topic that you all want us to discuss, you know, you all can email us at wearethemiddlemen, that's all spelled correctly, wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on our Facebook page, The Middlemen Talk Show. You can place the topic on there as well. And if you're on Blog Talk, if you have your profile on Blog Talk, you can definitely send us a message on Blog Talk as well. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow Kevin at The Middleman. You can follow me at, you follow Kevin at The Middleman KG, You follow me at The Middleman at, Jen is not on Twitter yet, but we're trying to get her on there. But
I have my personal Twitter account. I don't have a Middleman.
Don't say it then.
Well, excuse me then. But, you know, you can follow Jen at what, Jen? What's your Twitter name?
That's my personal.
Let's keep it moving.
Oh, come on, Jen. Anyway, okay, you can follow Nick Eaton at Nick Eaton on Twitter as well, too. So you can hit us up in every shape or form, and we'll definitely get to them. So we're going to go ahead and go into this song by Big Krit, Another Naive Individual Glorifying Greed and Encouraging Racism.
And if you're on the phone line, you can stay on when the time cuts off on the Internet. To all our Internet people, make sure you go back and download this show to hear some of the things that we do talk about when it cuts off on the Internet. Y'all be missing that. This Big Krit.
I want you all to go to your windows. Go to your windows and yell out. Scream with all the light that you can muster up inside your bruised, assaulted, and battered bodies. I am sick and tired of being a nigger.
I don't want to be another nigger. Tell the government, I don't want to be another nigger. Tell them white folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't want to be another nigga. Waiting with my hands out, broke in the hood, they give a damn about. Bragging to my homie about the hold up. Up drinking bottles after bottle because I smoke too much. I never had a job that would pay me well. I took what I could because they gave me hell. Spend what I stole on clothes and kicks. My ex-girl say I want to mount a shish, but she's up, nigga, up when my car roll up. Try to suck up at the bush, she talk too much. Her mama shake her head whenever I come round. Whatever high I have when I saw her might come down. I barely go to church, but I say I will. I bow my head right before I eat my meal. The world's buffed up and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame, cause I don't want to be another nigga. Tell the government, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't want to be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't want to be another nigga. Waiting on a play to come through. Chilling with my homeboys plotting on you. Watching movies, how to come up quick. Recruiting young niggas I can come up with. Barely read books, but they down to shoot. Live life, breaking rules, they got something to prove. Parents ain't around, they got nothing to lose. Wave a tool on a fool for some brand new shoes. Little child running wild in the streets. Wanna be a G, so he look up to me. Try to hit the block and make a name. Claim he caught a body, now we got it, and he feeling all the same. Till the family of the victim come knocking. Bailing through the corners of the ghetto till they shot him. You still dying and they claiming I'm to blame. It's a damn shame, cause I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the government, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga. Always trying to sell you something. Don't really know shit, but try to tell you something. Tap dance if you want him to. Could have been hungry, but he bought them jewels. Won't ever look back, cause he gotta keep moving. Even if he leave his own people bamboozled. Taking credit like he did it by himself. Too much pride to realize that he really had help. Only judge a man by his wealth. He ain't me, so he can't feel how I felt. He saw me walking and he ain't looked back, too scared. We make eye contact. So he could say he didn't see me when he drove by. And I could say he didn't see me and it's alright. He just wants the fame from the game, it's a shame. I bet he think I'm just another nigga. Tell the government, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them white folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell them black folk, I don't wanna be another nigga. Tell the world, I don't wanna be another nigga.
Powerful. Oh, man. I hope people, you know what I'm saying, if you're a hip-hop lover, if you like rap or whatever, you can tolerate it. And this young man, he has a lot of depth into what he's saying. He do give the kids what they want, but at the same time, he give you what you need to hear also. And, you know, if you get beyond the words that he may use, you know, it's still the message in everything that he says. The album can be downloaded at Return Forever. That's Return the number 4 EVA.com. And that's Big Crit. Y'all support our people.
Most definitely.
What's up, Al?
Definitely. Get Nick back on.
Technical difficulties. I apologize.
Hey, man, we appreciate you for not tuning in to your own show. Hey.
Hey, man.
This is the life of a star.
It was a great topic,
easy.
Though. Great topic.
I love y'all, too.
Great topic. I mean, great topic, man. I think you could have added a little bit more spice and energy into it. But, man, I mean, we're going to have to do a part two of this because we didn't cover everything more than that. I love the energy and the conversation of today. I did have a clip, y'all. Dang, I hate I can't play it.
Hey, post it up on the Facebook site, man.
Say what now?
Post it up on the Facebook site, dude.
It's too late now. Too late now.
Never too late.
Because I don't want to be another. But hey, next week, y'all make sure y'all tune in to the Middleman Talk Show. We will have another interesting conversation. We have the Talk of the Town with Nick Eaton coming up this Thursday. Y'all make sure y'all be on the lookout. Join us up on Blog Talk. What's up?
Like us on Facebook too.
Oh yeah, like us on Facebook also. But we do appreciate everybody that tuned in to the Middleman Talk Show this week. And we are out. I know somebody has something to say, but hey, it's all good.
Bye everybody.
The Middleman shouted, Big Crit shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out this master plan to put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. BlogTalkRadio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening in the middle, man? Hey, what's happening in the middle, man?
hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middle me.
Another week, y'all. What's up, y'all?
I'm not embarrassed. I was maybe 20 minutes ago.
What happened?
No, because everything was sounding, and I'm like, guys, we definitely want to apologize for the technical difficulties, and I realized, oh, I'm talking to myself.
That ain't no good, dog. That is no good, man. No good at all.
Okay, yeah, I deserve that one. I deserve that one.
It's okay. It's happened to me before, too.
Well, hey, it happened to all of us. I did it before.
I have no idea how long I was talking, though. That's what made it so bad.
Oh, we were just ignoring.
Right. I'm like, okay, everything just went dark. Like, why is nobody talking? Where's the music? What's going on?
Hey, man, what you got coming up on Talk of the Town this week, man?
This week on Talk of the Town, we're talking about crossover or double cross. We're going to explore how black artists have to cross over to these crowds, that these top crowds, and they never have to cross over to us.
Like,
and can you tell, because I texted you this week and asked you what time was your show, because I was, like, going to come with some people, but, like, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, the show was going on. The outro was playing.
What time is it again?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Then how come it says, like, 11 o'clock on Facebook?
Can't believe everything you see on Facebook.
Make sure we fix that.
Most definitely. But hey, y'all, I got my grill up. I got my meat in here ready. I'm finna go get to it. Hey, sniff, sniff. Ha ha. You ain't getting nothing.
Hilarious.
Hey, my Nelson voice.
Ha
ha. Wow.
Going down. I'm down.
Wow.
And arrivederci. Next week, y'all. Money.
I'm down.
Me too.